Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and $80 for a plastic case and some paper. God damn it, Rockstar. You had like one job. And with me, I have...
This is my executive decree. All wrestling matches shall have a spot with a Nintendo as a weapon.
And...
So this weekend, y'all spend somewhere either hot or crowded, and you wish you were somewhere else, but there, at least somewhere air conditioning. What the fuck am I talking about?
Yes.
Anime Expo?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be there either.
I went once. I had my fun.
Yeah, I mean... Just like at one point, it's like, it's like you figure, oh boy, I want to be there. They're like, you know what? Never mind. And also, yeah, 4th of July coming up, who gives a shit? Where it's just, y'all hang out outside, where it's hot, y'all can barbecue, even if it's like, why the fuck you outside? I don't want to be outside, but.
Oh, God, it reminds me, I had to prepare for all my bumpkin ass people on the other side of my street shooting off fireworks all night long.
Oh yeah, that too.
I am not looking forward to that.
Listen, all I'm gonna do on Saturday is I'm gonna go to the Nathan's at the Outlet Mall, get my hot dog that I eat every year because I eat one hot dog a year. It's only right I do it on this day. Then I'm going to go back inside, stay inside, and just keep my ears covered for all the fucking fireworks being shot outside on the other side of my street. 20 fucking years of it, and it never ends.
I feel like I'm probably going to spend this weekend the only way that makes sense. Rewatching season 2 of The Pit! What? It's best.
I hope I'm off this weekend. I just hope, you know, I just don't do shit. Just do what I do. Watch what new anime is coming this month because the new anime season starts. And I mean, maybe it won't be as much of a bore fest as the last two seasons. And yes, I said that shit. But yeah, maybe we get some exciting news on Anime Expo. But I don't know. I keep on looking at it as a solution, but
5 words: the ghost in the shell.
We'll see how everything is playing out, but we should probably get a bit back on track.
Yeah, it will be the one good one.
Or at least the one thing Amazon got to actually like this year.
Anyway. We need to get back on track here. This isn't the 4th of July podcast. What are we looking like, fucking turning
points? It won't be!
I mean, for fuck's sake, Vanilla Ice's Freedom 250 thing got rained out. That's probably a metaphor.
Oh, yeah, it got rained out. Sure, Jan. Not the fact that there are, like, 50 people there.
Now, here we are, episode 438. So, Alex, can you clarify this Nintendo weapon thing?
AEW pay-per-view on Sunday, there was a big old clusterfuck cage match. 12 guys were involved, and as usual, there were weapons. And one weapon was a goddamn NES, just being used as a blunt object.
Huh.
That alone was worth the $40 I had to pay for it, since my other way of watching it just didn't want to work on my Roku box, along with the, like, 5 other, like, godly matches I saw on that show, which, wrestling is good when it's good, and even though the other company wants it to be shit because of, conditioning and psychosis, which I'm not going to fall for. Give me the blood, give me the graps, give me the Nintendo. That show ended at like 1:05 and last on Sunday night, and you know what? Well worth it. Well worth the $40 I had to pay because my Roku thing didn't want to cooperate with me. Anyway, yes, it's hot, and normally this is what we call for one thing. when it's hot outside, us going on break for a little bit. And let's just say in a parallel universe, we would all definitely have a freaking beach party.
I feel like that's hinting at something, but what could it be?
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Yeah, so last week, I decided, you know what? I have nothing to lose. I'll watch this amazing digital circus thing that everybody's been talking about, including you two, for the last couple years. And you know what? Yeah, I get it. I get it now. At the end, I was just like Frank in that one episode. It was Always Sunny in Philadelphia going, oh my god, I get it.
Hey.
That being said, I am so glad I avoided all of the fandom pitfalls, because, oh god, like, just be normal, you fucking terminally online weirdos. That's not to make me stay away from, you know, the more incessant folks out there, because look at me. I talk about sports, I watch old movies, I watch Mystery Science Theater, and for some reason, I have a copy of Crash Nitro Car on Xbox, which I don't even own an Xbox, or an original Xbox anyway, so yeah, that was a waste of $10.
Huh.
But, yeah, I enjoyed it. Don't be weird about it. Also, good ending. Good ending. Yeah. Isn't she lovely indeed?
Yep. Now you're one of us.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, like, I mean me and Rob watching the show.
Yeah. And I watched it all in a span of 24 hours, because that's just how my brain works. It's just one hyperfixation after another, which probably explains why I own a copy of Crash Nitro Kart for Xbox. Old habits die hard.
Man, now I want to play Crash Nitro Kart.
I wouldn't. It's not as good as the original Crash Team Racing on PlayStation.
Maybe it's for the best. Anyway, Mark, anything going on your end besides the heat?
Let's see. Look at my book. Let's see. It's hot. Still hot. Hot as the sun. Hot as somebody's balls. Hot as fuck. Hot, hot, hot. 20XX. Let's see. What else? Not really else going on, except the usual of either the weather, work. I mean, my writing, all that. I'm still writing on shit that I promised to release hopefully this week. If everything goes right. I can't really say I watched anything we're talking about here. I mean, I did think, you know what? Maybe I'll watch this one little animation thing on here. It's called The Bloody Mary, which I thought, this is cute and fun in a spooky way. It's like, this girl and this demon going, like, do jobs in the haunted house. They find a ghost. They become friends. All that shit happens. Like, it's really good. And also, fun fact, it's both in English and Japanese.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, for those that want different trek, or at least do that shit, there you go.
All right, fair enough. As for me, well, I beat the first Final Fantasy VII Remake title. Pretty good. There's a plot point in there that I'm kind of raising an eyebrow at for, I don't know how to describe it without spoiling things. Just, you'll know when you get to it. But I'm curious to see more. Also, I have am diving into Chapter 5 of Deltarune. I cannot believe they took the evil flower and turned him into a pretty anime boy. With Ronald McDonald voice clips. This is a strange series. But fun. Oh, by the way, speaking of Deltarune, latest results in the Tumblr Sexy Man poll, the Silly TV Man beat out the Silly Teeth Man. R.I.P. Kane. Also, I need to... Well, okay, there were a couple things I watched. I finally got out to see the Backrooms movie, and... Oh, hey! Surprise, surprise! It was pretty good! Amazing what you can do when you take something from the internet and actually try to craft a meaningful story out of it, instead of just trying to play into memes, as it were. But no, yeah, fucking really good. One of Chiwetel Ejiofor's best acting performances. I think this Kane Parsons guy has a bright future ahead of him. Just please don't do it with A24 anymore. You are so fucking disappointing as a company.
Somehow I blame Alex Garland for that, too.
I'm probably going to have to second guess watching the Elden Ring movie.
I mean, at this point, I don't trust any movie company, to be honest. Not even the small indie ones, because they can fuck that shit up, too. Just because they indie don't mean they're always righteous, but fuck it.
I know, it's just...
It's questionable, but damn.
It's like, you expect this from, like, a multi-billion dollar company, but, like, I thought the artistic prestige guys were supposed to be better than this.
It always got to
be more skeptical. Yeah, but they, fair.
Yeah, but they got that money. Yeah, but people got that money, considering, yeah, they might change up some shit. I mean, eventually I'll change that shit for some time now, but... Right.
The bubble needs to crash. There's only one good bubble, and its name is Bubble.
I'm gonna miss Bubble.
Yeah.
But as far as... Well, one other thing I did want to say. Of course, we're in the transitional period between anime seasons, and while I still need to clear out the backlog of, like, three or so shows from the past couple seasons, I will say I already picked up one that just happened to get a weird early release, that being Smoking Behind the Supermarket with You, and, you know, the people were right. I think this show might have the sauce. At the very least, Tamaya? Absolute top-tier anime woman right there.
Oh yeah, that's right. I heard about the show a lot. I've been trying to get into this. Figure on that while it was early, I think the season started early, and I just, yeah.
Yeah, it's like six full episodes split up into 12 mini episodes, because anime are getting weird with their premieres, but look, it's a pretty good rom-com so far, I ain't gonna question it. But now we get on topic, as we move on to the usual weekly business. This is mainly song discussion time. There wasn't exactly a big individual news item that I saw. Mostly, I think we're all just still pointing and laughing at Freedom 250, so the news might flow next week. But for now, we have a bunch of news songs to discuss. As always, there'll be a playlist sent in the description. You can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, put new tunes in your playlists, all that jazz. So, let's start right here at the top. The post-metal band Russian Circles have announced that their 9th studio album is coming out this year. It is fittingly titled 9, and it is coming out on August 28th. Really? Not like September 9th? And the album's only 7 tracks. Come on, you gotta put more 9s in this. You gotta go all the way with the 9s, people. But that's just my silly ass offering opinions. Anyway, we have the lead-off single here called Empath. And if you're familiar with the Russian Circle style, then this is another pretty damn good Russian Circle song. It's got this very lengthy, like, droning synth with this stuttering warble that kind of, combined with this rumbling bass lick, leads the way into the full band eventually entering the song, and the instrumental parts of there kind of the bass lick kind of sets up something different from what I was expecting, as in, compared to that, the guitars have pretty consistent tremolo riffs all throughout the first half of the song, and the drums in particular are constantly hitting, like, non-stop eight notes on the kicks. It's really got this, like, forceful, rumbling, like, pummeling sort of fill, especially with the miscellaneous drum fills that accentuate the grooves and intensity. And then once you get into the back half, the things start getting mixed up with more of this, like, beefy, chugging chord progression, with the overall song switching to more of this heavier, like, 6-8 groove that's very slow and heaving. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, dynamics, and this is a song that absolutely got some meat on its bones. It's real beefy, lad, and I'm all for that.
Yeah, it's heavy and sludgy, and it hits like a sledgehammer in the guts. It's, pretty good stuff. It might be a little too much in that, you know, sludgy, doomy post section for my taste, but, you know, still good.
It's always hit or miss these things. But now let's move on to the next track, and, Starface is still going.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Those members Zar face to be the other the trio of Wu Tang Inspector Deck and rapper Esoteric and producers Stefanel. And they got another project coming out on August 28th. August 28th. Yeah, this one is another collab album. It's the title Zar Face Meets Frankie Pulitzer, which is basically teaming up with the underground rapper Frankie Pulitzer, Face Puller, otherwise known as, let me see, Tom Hardy. Oh, wait!
Huh, that's funny. I could have sworn you said the name Tom Hardy. That almost sounds like it's the same Tom Hardy famous for roles such as Bane, or Mad Max and Fury Road, or movies like The Revenant. Wait, is it actually Tom Hardy?
Yes.
He has a rap career?
Apparently, one time we actually touched on that once and we forgot about it. I think that was like way, way back in the heydays of our show. It's like, oh yeah, Tom Hardy was a rapper.
Huh.
And the more I think about it, him and Zarface, they have rapped before in some of their songs. And I think now, think about it, some of the songs I heard was in the Venom movie, which now makes sense. What's Zarface doing there? Well, at least they got good taste in hip hop. They got from the Jews in there too. So fuck it.
All right, Tom Hardy rapping anyway, with Zarface. What's going on with this, Mark?
All right. The touch is called Brothers Grimm, I get it because let's see, Brothers Grimm, like Ben Grimm, you'll get it. You'll get it.
Comedy.
Of course, you got some movement, beat going and shit, which is like basically what you do. And of course, it was like my shit's on point, like Animaniacs up the sleeve. Ha! Nice. And because you got bars like Arrasa Kevlar, Spark the Seminar, Sar set the dark bar tense on the Death Star, keep the dirt not safe for work. I got the brain buzzing, sticking perks, check the framework, Dexter. Then setting on biz, watching my working on his, and you basically going back, bars, but basically like dropping bars, from Deck, Esoteric, and of course you got Tom, got Frankie Pulitzer, or Tom Hardy, just one was like, okay, got lyrics like Iron Claw, man, I've been cold for so long, I'm the law, like Billy Kid smoking the whole forehead, I'm raw, I explore what it's more, this is an interesting team up. Like again, I know in the past they had collaborated before, which again that might not be because like, but it's like you, this is kind of interesting. It's interesting knowing that in a while, in a month or two, it was an album that has Tom Hardy on it. He both was into the hip hop game. Was he born in it? I don't know. Yes, better reference. Yeah.
I will say, surprisingly credible. Like, it didn't even register to me when I was listening to it that last set of bars even was Tom Hardy until I sort of heard a British accent, but this is kind of the opposite of, say, Lil Yachty being on that Action Bronson, Paul Wall track, as in Tom Hardy fits surprisingly well, like a glove with these dudes.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Moving on to the next track here, now we're in a September release. As it looks like the singer-songwriter Biba Doobie is set to release her fourth studio album on September 18th, titled Pylon. And I'll admit, I've heard a couple of her songs. I haven't exactly listened to her albums. There's a part of me that's curious, though, because it seems like this particular one, well, the announcement piqued my curiosity because there's a lot of collaborators on this one. And tell me if you notice a pattern here. So, the collaborators that are involved in this record include the following people. Haley Williams from Paramore. Brendan Yates from Turnstile. Evan Stevens Hall of the band Pine Grove. Okay. Maddie Healy and George Daniel of the 1975. Okay. Shane Moran of the band Title Fight, which I believe is sadly still defunct by now. And Chino Moreno from Deftones.
Hmm. Okay. That sure is a assortment of musicians. And Maddie Healy, for whatever reason.
And George Daniel.
But right, of course. How could I forget?
But, yeah, to spell out the very, very obvious, the implication here, obviously, from this group of collaborators is that whatever this new record is, it's probably going to be going for more of a post-hardcore, Midwest emo, alt-rock metal sort of thing. I mean, maybe not metal overtly, but we'll see when the full album drops. And we'll see from, you know, whatever the taste is we're getting here. Because we have the lead-off single here, Sun Has Set. And you can feel, like, the vibe of those collaborators and that overall essence right away. Because, like, the guitars here have, like, that fuzzy, overdriven production and the chords and everything. You know, kind of bouncing between those sort of, like, really nice chords and those sort of clean Midwest emo melodies kind of in the background of that. Some mixing in of, like, you know, acoustic strumming for good measure, along on top of a few other, like, sonic layer textures. The tempo kind of alternates between, like, the occasional halftime bit and more full-time energy. And, of course, lyrically, it's this very, very, you know, intense, bitter sort of breakup song as she's trying to kick this pathetic asshole out of her life. Now, of course, this would pique my curiosity because I'm a guy that's listened to plenty of Paramore and Deftones and all this other kind of post-hardcore emo stuff. And I will say, this sounds pretty credible. Like, I think maybe she could stand to have a bit more grit in her voice, but otherwise, as far as, like, the attitude being conveyed, I think she pulls it off convincingly well. Although I will have to go back to those other records and see if this really is, like, if there's any basis for this, like, in the backlog, or if this really is just kind of like a, you know, out of left field, fuck it, we ball sort of music idea, but you have my curiosity and my attention.
Hmm. You know, I keep getting that 6 years ago we know about this singer because she collabed with somebody on a COVID song or a sort of COVID song or somebody from a white rapper that no one gives a fuck about anymore.
Ugh.
It's like, oh yeah, that's right. The situation where the feature is more famous than you. You know what? I think like the Kimbra of this, as in you have a dedicated audience while being small time. But I don't want to compare Pafu to Gautier. That's sort of wrong. So no.
Well, my take is pretty good stuff here. It feels like there's a mix of a lot of 2000s indie and alternative genres melding together. Kind of felt a lot of that Misery Business era Paramore seep into it. Obvious influence is obvious. Part of me is also petrified to know what she would do with elements of 1975 and Turnstile, let alone Deftones. So I'm putting this in the proceed with caution pile because I don't know what's going to happen with all those elements combusting together. Could be good, could be trash, could be a gigantic explosion of greatness. I have no idea. Crash Nitro Car for Xbox. I don't know.
We need running jokes sometimes. But now moving on to the next track here. We have single number 2 from the band Loathe and their upcoming July 17th release, A Stranger to You. Now, I'll admit, when the lead-off single got released, I was a bit shaky on it in the review. I did sort of come around on it, though. At least as far as, like, a really nasty, heavy, discordant kind of jam. So, it's interesting, then, that with this new single titled Fangs, well, you'd think it would have more bite with the title, but this is all the way swerving in the opposite direction. Actually, I should probably ask for a second. Is that a double neck bass?
Is that what that guy sure is?
What, or wait, is that Yeah, I can't tell if that was if he was playing a double necked bass or if it was just an instrument that has two necks, one of which is a bass. I mean, either way, that would actually explain a lot about this song. Like I said, the previous single was pure, like, detuned mathcore discordance. This one is basically an R&B ballad by comparison. The tempo is very steady and slow. You'll easily be able to, you know, follow what's happening in the song. And the arrangement does still have its complexities, mainly in the melodic arrangements. There is this pocket, recurring pocket of, like, heavy groove that is, in fact, all bass guitar and kick. But the verses are very delicate. The drums are a lot more soft-spoken and intimate, almost kind of like a light, smooth jazz sort of thing. There's a lot of, you know, floating synths, delicate acoustics, and the vocal interplay in particular, there's a lot of really lush, dynamic, you know, arrangements going on. Just so many layers and the way the vocalists are bouncing off each other on this track. It's very detailed, and the best thing I could say is that it's definitely all mixed and, you know, composed very well. Like, it meshes properly instead of sounding like it's clashing and fighting for your attention with any one element. That being said, I do still have the one slight criticism from before, and that is kind of the weird fuzziness issue in the mix that I mentioned with the drums. Again, to me, it sounds like every cymbal hit has the same kind of hiss that you expect from a China, even though, you know, they're not hitting Chinas all the time. That's just a weird nitpick to me, but otherwise, we're getting some swerves with these singles, and I am very, very intrigued.
This feels oddly pop in a lot of ways. Like, you can recontextualize this and rearrange this to be a more contemporary pop song with, you know, proper instruments, and you would not miss a thing. Except all the low-tuned guitars, I suppose, and that double-neck bass in the video. The cymbal thing, I don't know. I guess that's just how it was bussed or mixed, you know, together. That's one thing that could happen with cymbals. Depends on the mic placements and how you're, you know, bussing everything out to the master outs. Yada, yada, yada. Production talk. Nobody cares. Interesting song, I'll say that. Not totally sold on Loathe as a whole because, you know, a lot of their stuff is not really my thing. But hey, I'll give them a thumb up for a curveball. I appreciate that.
And now we're moving on to the next track here, which is also a July 17th release. Specifically, the much-anticipated new album from Steve Lacy titled, Oh Yeah! Question mark. This new single here is called, Is It Cool? Question mark. And it features a guest appearance from none other than SZA. Always good to hear her around. Now, with this single, this is a really lush, pretty composition. You definitely hear a lot of, like, those glistening, sort of computery synth beats. This kind of sparse, thumping drum rhythm. And the gradual, you know, incorporation of these very, like, fuzzed-out R&B guitars into the mix. And then, lyrically, there is this kind of back and forth between two people regarding, like, you know, this complicated romance dynamic. Specifically, Lacey is kind of taking on the, point of view of someone who admits to having grown up in kind of a toxic environment that was so bad that it pretty much, in their minds, warped their ability to be, like, a really dedicated, faithful partner. But is, you know, falling for this woman that is so, like, incredible and amazing to him that he's trying really, really hard to actually grow out of those toxic thought patterns for the sake of impressing her. You know, Lacey's lyrics are very, you know, honest about the complications of that sort of thing. SZA, you know, as a back and forth between the two, she sounds really great on this too. Yeah, Steve Lacey's still doing pretty cool stuff.
Yes, I agree. It sounds really good. It sounds really good. And also, those are one of the lyrics. Never need a man. Tay Tay died when I was 10. Tay Tay actually being his father. Well, according to the genius, Tay Tay being his father and tag along.
Hmm.
Which, okay. Which, go ahead. Okay, good. Didn't know he was. Oh, that tag along. What the? I know that's like.
Isn't that like a Filipino language?
Yeah, that's it. I know he was part Filipino. But now I do know. Pretty good song overall. Yeah.
And now we move on to the next track here, which is, oh hey, a September 18th release. So, y'all know something that pop singer Carly Rae Jepsen really seems to love? Pears. And I ain't talking about the romantic variety. Her post-emotion output often seems to come in sets of two for one reason or another. Dedicated in 2019 was followed by Dedicated B, Side B in 2020. The Loneliest Time in 2022 was followed by The Loveliest Time the year after. So I suppose it's fitting that at this point she's just kind of dropping the pretense and giving us a double album. 24 tracks, it's titled Day and Night. Yeah, scheduled for September 18th. So, of course, we have the lead-off single here, On Wires, and this is another one of those tracks that is kind of a bit of a swerve that I can't say I was expecting at the very least. Compared to the, you know, romantic girly synth pop of a lot of her prior recent efforts, the verses on this one kind of rely on more of this sort of lounge piano sort of thing going on. Kind of reminds me of, like, Benny and the Jets by Elton John. And, of course, the second verse, you kind of have that plus some big band horns, so I mean, you know, mixed in at points. And then when you get to the chorus, it has this really, like, big, fuzzed out, like, grooving rock chorus going on that no doubt has to be some kind of 70s throwback. Like, you just hear how big it sounds in a way that is kind of different from, like, your usual Carly Rae fare. It kind of reminds me of, what was the lead single from Awaken My Love? That Childish Gambino record from 2016?
Redbone?
Oh, shit.
No, Redbone was the second one.
Oh.
Damn, I'm trying to figure the first one. I know it ain't Redbone. It's another one. I think it's, damn. It's, what? That was, oh shit, that was 10 years ago. That was 10 years ago. Holy shit.
Me and Your Mama. It was Me and Your Mama. Yeah, it was week before Redbone came out. It was released as a single, so. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking of. Just the way it explodes out with that big sort of anthemic rock chorus, but still with kind of like a synth thing going on. And, of course, lyrically, the song kind of has Carly being sort of a bit frustrated while being on, you know, kind of this will-they-won't-they dynamic. And she just kind of wants to cross the line already into a very hot and heavy romance. So, I realize that, you know, 24 tracks of Carly Rae Jepsen at once might be a bit of a tall order, but this single is really good and a really unique thing in her discography so far, so you have my attention.
You know what, I'm just gonna say it. This woman deserves so much more than being known in the mainstream for just one song, which would technically qualify her for One Hit Wonderland. No, the song with Alicity doesn't count. All that being said, that might be a bit too much for me to take in with the new album, so I might have to sit that one out. Y'all should not let emotion fail, that's all I'm gonna say.
Oh, if only we could bend the course of music history correctly. But now moving on to the next track here. So, with Charlie XCX's recent various ventures into the world of film, you know, starring, writing, composing, etc., it's probably not surprising, that's what I meant, that, you know, all her teases and recent activities have been leading into the announcement of a new album titled Music, Fashion, Film, due out July 24th. Of course, it's going to have the previous singles that, you know, we talked about, SS26 and, God, what was the other one? Rock Music?
I think Rock Music?
Mm-hmm. No, it was Rock something. Yeah, Rock Music. And it's going to have this new one here that she released called Wink Wink. So the music and film motif is definitely right because this particular song sort of continues the implied rock motif. In particular, kind of having this like airy 2000s alt rock sort of thing with the twang guitars and melodic synths that, you know, very fitting of the album title. Sounds like it would be something out of a movie. Like think sort of a hipster romance drama from the late 2000s. Like, I don't know if anybody listening or anybody here ever remembered or watched the movie Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that one.
I didn't think it was that bad. But then again, I haven't watched it.
I didn't care for it.
I didn't watch it. I haven't watched it since, like, high school, so who fucking knows. But I'm just saying, like, musically, it's sort of like that general idea. And of course, the lyrics are, as you can expect, the tongue is still planted firmly in cheek, as the overall message is that Charlie's been criticized for being, you know, a coked out bitch, and she's sort of trying not to be anymore. Wink.
So, a theory or just an observation some folks have had come to with these songs is that this album seems to be positioned as the come down from the manic cocaine-fueled rave that was Bratz, where the clarity comes in after the high and the exhaustion, and I'm starting to believe it with these songs, and yeah. Song is alright. Pretty brisk contemporary pop song, but in regards to the video, Jesus, Charlotte Aitchison, warn a guy next time before you go hog wild with Kindle Smut. God.
All of it.
Oh yeah, well, that is a video, just have right?
One, I just have one word to describe this. Horny. Very, very horny.
Yeah.
With lyrics like using the cream of strawberries in the summer, and maybe I fucked your dad.
I was not expecting that video to be as detailed as it was.
Man, there's just, you know, first Bill Cipher from Gravity Falls F's my mom, and now Charlie XCX F'd my dad. What could possibly happen now? But we have one more song on the docket here, and this is put here in an effort to prove that we are, in fact, hip to trends. We're paying attention to what the kids are into. We present this segment that I'm totally not fitting in here because I 100% follow the recommendations of Todd in the Shadows. Wink. See what I did there? I made a transitional segue. So anyway, y'all heard about this somber guy? You know, up-and-coming singer, does kind of a lot of alt-rock tinged synth-pop sort of deals. Had a really big year last year with his debut album, I Barely Know Her. Honestly, I think I kind of like him just for that fucking pun alone. Somber, I Barely Know Her. I have a very dumb sense of humor, in case you can't tell. But, yeah, you know, that obviously is still, like, one of the bigger albums that came out in 2025. And it's probably giving him a lot of really good momentum to continue into, you know, whenever he decides he's gonna put out another album or EP or something. He has been dropping a few singles here and there. In fact, we have a new single to discuss here called My Body Isn't Ready. And if you haven't heard of him, you know, up until now, this song is kind of a good metric for his sound, I think. So, stylistically, the composition, I would say, is very well considered with how all of its elements come together. There's a lot of these layered, ooing, like, choir background vocals. There's this really nice groove to the drums with kind of, like, the subtle ghost notes and everything, with the occasional tambourine, sort of like a more Americana old rock sort of thing. The melodic echoing of the piano chords, and, of course, those guitar textures peppered throughout. And, lyrically, the song is about, like, insecurity and specifically body image issues in the face of a relationship, you know, trying to make something work, but there's that block in your brain that just can't get past, you know, hating the way you look and thus being your own worst enemy as a result. The chorus being like, I like you, but my body isn't ready. I want you, but the mirror won't let me, which, you know, I'll give it credit. I think that's a pretty good line, a pretty clever turn of phrase for what the song's themes are. Even the line, does she just like me for the things I do, kind of makes it sound like, well, yes, obviously relationships require more substance and actually being able to do good things beyond just, you know, being a pretty face. But again, it kind of speaks to the problems he's trying to work through psychologically, where he kind of just wants to be liked for being a pretty face instead of, you know, the other thing. And, you know, listening to the song as a whole, I can definitely see, you know, what the appeal of this guy is. He's pretty good at what he's doing here. Whether that's your thing is, you know, something else entirely. But, you know, I'm giving a thumbs up to this guy.
So, I'm going to come off as a little mean here. I'll just say I thought that this was just okay. It didn't really ring out to me that much. It's an alright pop song. I don't know. Something about the approach just didn't click with me. There's just nothing much more than it being just an alright pop song. Maybe I'm missing something, but yeah. this didn't land with me. Sorry, folks. At least I tried?
Eh, it could be worse. We could have said something to piss off the K-pop stans, and then we would have gone on a list.
As if we aren't on one already.
Okay, now that, yeah, that's basically all the songs we had, and, yep. Since there's not really much in terms of news, that would pretty much leave just the new album releases for the week of July 3rd, 2026. Unsurprisingly, it kind of seems like everyone's taking the weekend off for various reasons, but there are at least three albums that are worth noting, at least from my perspective. So, if you're into your boomer dad rock, we have a new album from Deep Purple with Splat. If you're into the rapper Ken Carson, we have the album Experiment. That's X as in that's how it's spelled. It doesn't have the E at the beginning. You know what I mean. And last, possibly least, depending on how you look at it, Madonna with Confessions on a Dance Floor Part 2. So, you know, if you wanted a sequel to Confessions on the Dance Floor, sure?
I mean, that album was really good. Please don't blow it, Stuart Price. That's all I'm hoping for.
All right, fair enough. Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. Alex, you know where to find him. His ads and stuff are in the description, so just look there. Mark, what about you?
Of course, you find me on Blue Sky Metamedia and on my site, mynhype1.com. Of course, I said before, some stuff should be coming soon, like you know, time of the season. Some summer animes, see the hot new shit coming out, and all that, and hopefully some more stuff. Yeah.
Cool. As for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@cerebralresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to visit the website, cerebralresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Follow the site on Blue Sky at cerebralresolution.bluesky.social. And, of course, be sure to, on the site, find the link to the Discord chat so you can chat about all sorts of things from movies and music to video games and all that fun, good stuff. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And, of course, at some point next week, the album roundup for good old June 2026. So stay tuned for that. And until then, devilish deeds done damned coldly, eh? All right, JoJo's localizers, I see you're playing the game at a high level here.